Ask the Podcast Coach for July 5th, 2014.
Let's get ready to podcast.
Oh, it is Saturday. It's the day after Independence Day, and the fireworks are still happening every Saturday here on Ask the Podcast Coach. I'm so glad you're here, and back in his chair. So glad to have you back. Man, am I glad to have you back. And I mean, like, man, am I glad to have you back. Although last week was fun. The chat room came to the rescue, but joining me is Jim Cullison from TheAverageGuy.tv. Jim, how you doing, buddy?
Great to be back, Dave. Yeah, you guys, I was able to listen during the week, and you did a great job. But it's always good to be in the chair on Saturday mornings.
And
9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern.
That's right. Thank you. Eastern Standard Time. I always forget that. And you can find us at askthepodcastcoach.com/live. It's where the chat room is. It's where the magic is happening. And this is where we take your phone calls. We talk a little podcasting news. Anything you want to talk about. It's kind of open-ended, and it's our way of just kind of giving back to the community. So if I have those people like, oh, I want to hire you, and then I tell them my fee, and they go, oh, yeah, I can't hire you. And I'm like, well, here, just get up Saturday mornings, and we'll fancy a chat, as they say, across the pond. And speaking of that, if you want to call in, that number is 845-262-2401. That again is 845-262-2401. And it is the 5th of July. And for those of you, I don't want to talk. I thought about this today. Do we talk about the 4th of July? Because people in Britain are probably going, live, you know.
Yeah, mostly U.S. listeners, at least for the live show. Yeah. But if you're in Britain, I always say it's the anniversary of throwing off the ruthless shackles.
That's right. Ruthless.
British Empire.
Not just shackles, but ruthless shackles. I went to an Indians game and had one of the coolest experiences, like top 10 thing, standing on the top of what was Jacobs Field, Progressive Field, and in Cleveland, Ohio, and looking out across the terrace, and like all these cities were having firework thingies, and you could see like six at a time with my wife. It was like, wow, this is really, really cool. So that
there's a haze out there this morning. If you've gone outside, if you're in the United States and you've gone outside this morning, there's just this apocalyptic haze that's over the, you know, we got rain last night, so it's all washed down, but it's I remember some mornings coming out, and it's good to be inside. It's good to be at Ask the Podcast Coach, and it's good to talk podcasting.
Absolutely. Yeah, last week's show has inspired me to do something in my own life. Bill Conrad from BluffTV.com, a regular caller to the show, I might add, and a really nice guy. But I think it was Ryan Parker. By the way, speaking of Ryan Parker, kudos to Ryan Parker. When I came on and I was solo last week, Ryan had sent me an email, said, hey, Dave, if you want me to come on, I can come in and help you out. So Ryan, thank you very much for the offer. The bad news is I had closed my email, so I didn't see his message until after the show, but that would have been fun. And I just appreciate the offer. And that was fun. And I actually I completely tangented myself out completely of what I was. So I was listening to Bill. I lost my own train of thought. And Ryan had said, it sounds like Bill needs to focus on one thing, because Bill's trying to launch like three podcasts at once. And I was like, you know what? I think we all kind of do that from time to time. I know right now, because Ryan Parker challenged me to do it, I'm almost done with really the biggest chunk of moving the School of Podcasting to a new web host. And unfortunately, Ryan challenged me back in January, I think it was. He says, I challenge you to do it.
That takes time, though. It takes time to move. I mean, that's a big adventure, right? I mean, especially if a lot of audio files. You just don't realize how long it takes to pull down and push up if you're moving providers.
Yeah.
You got to pull down all that content. I mean, it's not easy. You can get a couple hundred gig pretty fast.
Well, and what I'm doing, I'm redoing the whole planning your podcast section. That's the biggest hurdle. Is I'm redoing all the videos, and I'm doing this other stuff. And so what happens, I think, to a lot of us is we end up with four number one priorities. And so I'm actually I attended a class on how to write a book quickly by Ray Edwards. And so part of my homework was writing a book, which I did, on how to list your book in iTunes, but it's not really done. And I had to go, you know what? That's okay. This is not a main, that's my number two priority. And I've got a couple other ones, but I really had to sit down and go, what will affect my audience better? You know, and I just went, you know, if I hear another person go, Dave, your website's kind of slow. I'm like, that's because I'm still not done moving. And I was like, I need to come up with one priority. And which with Bill, I mean, that's kind of a military thing, isn't it? To you kind of make your checklist and go through and check them off and that whole nine yards. So.
Well, I think he just wants a really successful launch. And this is, you know, not to pick on him because we're not. But I think this is a podcaster's dilemma is that very first podcaster kicking out. You know, there's so much pressure. You know, Dave, when you and I started doing this, you know, back in the day, as you like to say, when we started doing this, there wasn't that new and noteworthy pressure. There wasn't that. I've got to have everything. I got to have a great looking website. There isn't, I had to have a player on the front page. There wasn't, I had to have a million different subscription options, you know, iTunes, RSS, Stitcher, right. Podomatic, you know, whatever. So we had it kind of easy. We kind of eased into it. Today's podcaster, man, there is a million things apparently for them to think about when they have to get all these things done. And I think my advice on that is, like you said, take one thing at a time. You know, it, depending on your time, if it's going to be your full-time job, I mean, in Bill's case, he's retired and it sounds like this is kind of a full-time gig for him. Well, pour all your time into it, you know, but eventually you got to just light the fuse and run.
Yeah.
Cause you got to get some things going. You'll learn some lessons. You figure out you did some things wrong. You'll figure out you did some things right. So, yeah.
And Bill is actually in the chat room and he says, the Red podcast, we were talking about that last week, made new and noteworthy. That's my buddy, Dave Hooper. And, the thing is about new and noteworthy that a lot of people, yeah, you want, anytime you can get a spotlight on your show, realize that spotlight is not as big as it used to be, and it is going to depend on your genre. You still have to keep the people that find you. And that's the part that I think we're so worried about getting it, you know, getting that spotlight on me. And I'm like, have you made sure that when you get them there, they go, wow, I can't believe that podcast was that big. I'm actually writing an article for the next Pottertainment magazine, because I'm old, that says, who is the next Jimi Hendrix of podcasting? Because I watched there's a new flick on, a new old flick on Jimi Hendrix in Netflix. And you just don't realize that this is like 19, whatever, 67, something like that. And there just wasn't anything like him at all. And the guy's out there, he's literally humping his amplifiers, he's waving his tongue at people, he's playing it with his teeth. And the greatest thing about that whole movie was watching the woman in the audience, and I know this is an audio podcast, that just went, she was just completely blown away, like, what am I watching? And I was like, there have been people along the way that have made people go, you know, whoa, you know, Callie Lewis, wow, a perky... I'll say it, a perky hot chick doing tech news that's not just doing the news, but she's a geek. You know, I was like, wow, who's ever heard of that? And the No Agenda show has people donate $1,000 and they get into they do what? You know, that kind of stuff. And so I'm wondering if we're, you know, by trying to follow the quote, and we're talking about these a lot lately, you know, the rules of a successful podcast launch is, you know, Jimi Hendrix didn't have Twitter. That was the other one that blew me away. Jimi Hendrix didn't have Twitter or the internet or Ed Sullivan. Ed Sullivan was like, no, that dude's too crazy for my show. And yet the word of Jimi Hendrix spread like wildfire because he was unique. And he took other people's stuff. He took the blues and stuff like that, mixed it together and made something completely original. And that's when I went, that's what we need to do in podcasting. Take the reporting skills of No Agenda, take the humor of Mark Maron, take the discipline of John Lee Dumas, and come up with your own thing. Amen. Hallelujah, people.
preach it, brother.
So, but
Mike Phillips is asking, who is the next and who is the current? Who is the current Jimi Hendrix of podcasting? I mean, and I guess that's how you define it, right? What is it success? I mean, Laporte by far is the most successful podcaster of this generation. So he in second place is pretty far behind, I think. And so he is way out there for sure. I mean, some guys really like him and gals really like him and some don't. And I get that, but as far as money goes, I'm not sure there are many that are doing more. I don't think there's any doing more.
Well, it's interesting because we were talking last week about that article about the top 20 celebrity podcasts. And I did send an email to John Lee Dumas. I said, dude, how are you not on this list? He goes, I'm not a celebrity. And I'm like, okay, kind of. You are in the podcasting land. Because he's definitely, according to his income reports, making more than some of those people.
But don't you think, Dave, he's popular in our circles because we talk podcasting all the time.
That's
right?
It.
And he has published those reports. And, you know, outside of the podcasting circles, people don't care about those reports. They just want information. Right?
I want to prove a point here. Have you ever heard of the Michael Stanley Band?
I have not, no.
The beautiful thing of that is Michael Stanley had a hit in the 80s called He Can't Love You Like I Love You. He was on MTV, okay?
Yeah.
He sold out. He holds the record in Cleveland because he's from Cleveland. Actually does a radio show now because that's what you do when you can't sell records anymore. He sold out a outdoor venue called Blossom Music Center, holds a bazillion people. He sold it out 5 nights in a row. Holds the record to this day, most sold out concerts, you know, consecutive. And if you go outside of Cleveland, Ohio and go, who's Michael Stanley? People go, who? What? And I grew up thinking Michael Stanley was this huge thing because, gosh, he was on MTV and he did have he had a real contract and you've heard of that song. But, you know, so, yeah, if we go into the knitting circles and go John Lee Dumas, they're going to go, who? What?
Well, shoot, I even say Laporte outside of like to normal people and they don't know who he is. So, you know, even people who listen to podcasts. So recently I've been talking to a lot of my contemporaries and I'll mention the word podcasting like, oh, I listen to NPR. Right. That's how they're consuming NPR now. Right. As through podcasting. And I'll be like, well, have you ever heard of, you know, Leo Laporte? Nope.
Nope.
And it's just now he is tech, but he is, and it would be interesting. I just said Laporte in podcasting, but it would be interesting. I haven't really looked at NPR numbers. They're a traditional media company that has gone into podcasting and is being very, very successful. Mm-hmm. I mean, they are killing it. In the podcasting arena. So I could be wrong there. I mean, they could be number one for all we know. Radiolab, right? There are some, I think what will eventually happen is mainstream will catch up. They'll see this. They'll do things right, like NPR is doing things right now. And if you want to model your podcast after NPR, it's not about, don't copy them, obviously, but they're doing some things right and have a great following.
The other question I had, I thought we could throw out today. Well, actually, we actually had somebody send in a question. So since it is the Ask the Podcast Coach, we might as well answer a question from the listener. This is actually from Guy, who was in my Podcasting in 6 Weeks class. So let's go ahead and listen to Guy's question. And let me know if you can't hear this. Let me turn this up.
Hey, Dave and Jim. This is Guy DiMartino, former student of Dave from the Chiropractic Lawyer podcast and the soon-to-be Personal Injury Law podcast. I was wondering if you all had a chance to look at Brian Clark's new Rainmaker platform. It also seems to host some type of podcast tabs and information on that. So give me your thoughts on what you think of Brian Clark's new Rainmaker platform. Thanks for all you do, and I look forward to seeing you and speak to you at some time in the future. Have a great day.
Thank you, Guy. And normally I wouldn't play this on the show because my answer was no, I haven't. I know Brian Clark. I know Copy Blogger. I know Authority. I know Scribe. I know Studio Press. And so I thought I would. I brought that question on the show just to throw it out to the chat room. Does anybody know anybody who's used it yet? I believe I had the website this morning. I believe it's New Rainmaker. .com, and I think that then redirects to /platform. Maybe not, he said, pulling it up. Yeah. And it is really, really cool because what they've done is they've taken everything, you know, Brian Clark. They've taken Scribe, which is a plugin that you can get that adds it's basically an SEO grading tool that's in there. They've taken the great looks of StudioPress themes. They used to have a membership site plugin that they pulled off the market and they've pulled it into this. And I was watching a video this morning that made it sound like they've taken all those products and put it into one. So if you're looking to run a membership site and, you know, have a great looking site and do sales pages and have all these links to your Google Analytics and things like that, by all means, that is something that it looks in the same way. There are certain people, like I'm reading Pat Flynn's book because I'm interviewing Pat Flynn on July 17th, I think it is, when we're scheduled. And so I want to do my homework. And, you know, I like his podcast, and I don't know why, but I'm really surprised at how good his book is. It's just his story of how he gets let go and kind of how he builds smart passive income. And it's one of those where it's like, I kind of was bummed last night that I had to really go to bed because I wanted to read the book some more. And so there are certain people that just based on who they are, what they've done in the past, that you kind of go, yeah, that's probably pretty good. And just so for me, just from Studio Press and Scribe, which is their SEO plugin, I've used both those, and those were both awesome. You know, I would say this is definitely worth at least nothing else. They have a 30-day free trial, I believe, if you go over there. But if anybody knows that, you know, if you've used that, you could always, of course, call in and tell me about it. That number is, of course, 845-262-2401, 845-262-2401. Or if you're in the chat, you could check that out. And I also just, how are we doing on time? Oh, we got plenty of time. I'll throw this in. I always have our little sponsor here. And to give an example of what MySpeed does, I was watching a tutorial this morning. I'll go ahead and start playing this a little bit.
Website Smarty?
Yeah. And as I was listening to this guy do a review of MySpeed, you'll hear me speed this up.
The idea behind the reviews is to compare WordPress.org membership sites that we create right now.
And I hear
to give you an idea of what the Rainmaker platform is about.
And that's doing this to the video.
Use the platform to power your website and do business on the internet. Or if you should...
It doesn't sound like chipmunks, which is great.
We start by taking into the back end of the...
That's always been my frustration.
So for me, and if you want to check that out, go to askthepodcastcoach.com/myspeed. And while I'm at it, if you want to start podcasting, go to schoolofpodcasting.com and use the coupon code ASK20. But it's a case where I wanted to get ramped up on Guy's question. So I went over and watched a 12-minute video on that in 6 minutes. That you can actually go up to 3X. 3X is a little, it's still very much, you can understand what they're saying. It's just, it sounds very weird when someone's like,
it's almost too short, right?
Yeah.
You've been talking about that for a while, and I can't listen to my podcast that way because every time I do, I get the chipmunk sound. Like if I do it in Audacity, some of those, you know, you get that chipmunk sound, and I'm like, man, how did you do that where it didn't sound horrible? And so I was very surprised. You've been talking about this for a while, and I've been like, yeah, whatever, Dave.
Yeah.
And but I could actually listen to it like that because it's the normal, right? It's a normal speed or the normal sound.
Well, and that in I was listening to the new podcast from Elsie Escobar just to sample it, which I believe is at She Podcasts with an S, or it might be She Podcast. Silly me for not doing my show prep. But I was just checking it out, and it also works any kind of HTML5 player. It does not work on Netflix, for the record, if you want to watch a movie in fast time. But if you're listening to audio or video, it's pretty cool. So, but I thought, well, I'll go ahead and throw that in there now to show that that's how I was helping Guy learn about Rainmaker. So, it's on the horizon, and that's just another example of how... You know, more tools are coming into the space to make things easy. He did mention, now, Dave, if you're going to put the link to the quote sponsor, which is really just an affiliate link, you might want to actually not have a typo in it. There we go.
It's tough to do it live.
It is. Absolutely. And if you type horribly anyway, when you're doing it live and pushing buttons and things like that, that always makes it fun. But yeah, if you want to call in, again, that number is 845-262-2401. And Jim, you had changed your website since the last time you were around.
Yeah, we've been working hard to switch some things over, you know, and I went with a very different approach as opposed to the blog approach where it's just, you know, post down the page. Where people come in a traditional blog approach. I've used MesoColumns, MesoCol, the MesoColumns. And it's not a particularly exciting theme that I don't think anybody's really even talked about, but I found it back in the winter. And it really takes my It takes each one of my categories. So I do category, I do podcasting, you know, category approach on WordPress. So that, yeah, there we go. And so what it does is it takes each one of those categories and puts it on the front page. So I have more of a tabular, not tabular, it's not the right word, but more of a, you know, all six, I have six sections on here. I think I have six. I might have more. I might have eight now. I think I do have eight. I have eight sections on the front page. And so everyone can see everything, including, so, and then I headline the two top, our two top podcasts. So Home Gadget Geeks and Cyber Frontiers are on the top. So that's what you see when you get there. That's what most people are going to come for. And then below the line or below the fold would be the other podcasts that I do, including school, Ask the Podcast Coach. I put on there every time I'm on the show here, I make a little post and include all the links, and I post that on my site as well. So if people want to know the things that I'm doing, they can find them right there on the front page. So yeah, that big change. It's getting great reviews from people who look at it. They're like, wow, I can really find stuff now. When you have kind of a, you know, before I might, so we might do a Cyber Frontiers and we might do that once a month or every 6 weeks. It would disappear off the page if in a traditional blog layout. This way, it, no matter how long it's been since I've done a podcast, it always stays on the front page. And so I just, I liked that. I like that idea. And so I thought I'd give it a try and kick those out. I also like the idea of highlighting, and Dave, you do this a lot too. I like the idea of highlighting other podcasts that I'm on. That makes those podcasters feel like, hey, he recognized. I picked this idea up from a guy I had on my show. And he was really good about advertising for me when we were done. And so it just was a great way of, you know, kind of highlighting those shows that I'd been on. And the other thing, oh, go ahead.
Well, Ryan, is could you repeat what it's called and where, do you know where people can find it or? It's just a theme, right?
The theme? Yeah, the theme, Meso, M-E, here it's actually at the bottom of my page. So if you go to theaverageguy.tv and go all the way to the bottom, M-E-S-O-C-O-L. U-M-N, Mesa column. And it's a theme by, and I think it's Dezian, D-E-Z-Z-A-I-N. Again, I kind of fell into it by accident. I was looking around for some themes, and this theme, the way they had it laid out, was just different than anything I'd ever seen. And I thought, wow, I'm going to try this. And Dave, I'll be honest with you. I monkeyed around with this theme for a good 12 weeks before we even thought about going live with it. So a couple weekends were spent spinning up test sites, importing in some content, trying different things. I would send out those links then to friends and say, hey, what do you think of this? And I'd get some feedback from them. Yeah, you should change this. I don't like that. These colors aren't good. I would change it, send it back again. Again, not monkeying with my own site, right? I had a test site that I was doing this on. And I could get some really good feedback. And then once I had it built the way I wanted it, I just one Saturday I came in and I didn't do where you make, you know, you copy the files over and bring it in. I just in real time, I just updated it. It took me about 4 hours to get it done. Saturday afternoons aren't typically very busy on my site. So I did it then. And I was surprised how quick it went. And when I got done, I was like, really, that's it. That's all there is to it. Now I've been monkeying around with it since, but yeah, it was a big changeover for me.
And it looks like, did you have some logos designed for, I see the cool G and then the
yes, F. I did. So I got with a designer, you know, a big believer in local talent. So this designer is actually a high schooler from my church who does a lot of the graphics for our church, you know, stuff that we do. And I just sat down with him and I said, hey, can I trade with you? You do my graphics. I'll set up your website for you.
There you go.
And so he did all that logo design, a very flat, you know, very, very Windows 8 looking, you know, flat design that we did. But he's done that. He made a couple videos for me, a little intro videos that, you know, like 8 seconds of, you know, stuff moving around.
You got to have the dancing letters and the swishing logo.
Cool.
Yeah,
it was cool. It was cool to add that to that to what I do.
Well, very cool. And then we did have a question, speaking of Bill Conrad. He asked about opt-in lists. And I think we've kind of capturing email addresses. I think I actually talked about this with him last week. I use AWeber. A lot of people use MailChimp. Go to either one of those systems and copy the code and either A, and actually I would do both, paste the code into a page, not a post, and call it something like newsletter, and then also paste it into a text theme and throw it on a in a widget on your sidebar and WordPress, and that will do it there as well. Or you can use, I use a plugin, it's not free, called Opt-in Skin, that allows me to pick different zones. Like I have an opt-in on the School of Podcasting at the bottom of every post. I have it in my sidebar, and you can design different looking kind of boxes, for lack of a better phrase, and you can make them pretty. And then you can get stats on which one is getting the most people subscribing and things like that. But I know Bill's really right now focusing on monetization. And he also asked, what is the best paid membership site? I use, and I love it to death, Digital Access Pass. I know there's, I forget the one from the guys from, Wishlist. I know a lot of people use Wishlist. I love Digital Access Pass, and here's why. Number one, support, like no support I've ever had, ever, period. Hands down, the guy's awesome. They're constant, not constantly, but they update it, and it's really meant for internet marketing. So if you're a person who, like I've used it to do dime sales, where you're like, hey, the first person that buys it, it's $50. The next person, it's $55. The next person, it's $60. So little carrot, you know, kind of situations like that. It works with WordPress. It also has a built-in affiliate program. So if you want to have people promote your product, that's built into it. It has a built-in newsletter. So when people sign up for the School of Podcasting, every now and then I will send an email that says, hey, here's a new feature, this and that. That's all automated. And so, you know, I could use AWeber for that, but it's built into Digital Access Pass. And because I'm not sending out thousands of emails, I don't mind using my local, in this case, HostGator, hosting account to send out emails that way. And it ties in with a ton of systems. If you want to have it on JVZoo, as in JVZOO.com, and also ClickBank, if you want to have those kind of affiliate stuff. So for me, and it has, if you're going to do dripping content with membership sites, now keep in mind the one thing about membership sites, especially if you're just starting a podcast, because I had somebody that did this and it burned them out like that. I mean, just boom, never made it to episode 4. He started a membership site when he started his podcast. And I told him, I said, I would start the podcast, build an audience, and talk about how you're building the membership site. And then eventually, once you get to a certain number and you got a number, hey, open the floodgates, give those people, that audience that you've built up, some sort of coupon code to get them in there. And now you've got people who actually consume that content, because he went through and was making his podcast and making bonus content. There was no audience yet. So he was doing double the work for zero pay. And consequently, just, I mean, talk about on fire. He just flamed out. And I was like, yeah, I kind of told you, it's a lot of work. So keep in mind, if you're going to start a podcast and you want to have a membership site, that one can wait. You know, it's like, let's build the audience first and see, hey, do you have an audience that's engaged with you that might want to do that? And then also keep in mind that a 3% return on your audience. So if you have 100 people listening and you go, man, if I could get 50% of these people to sign up for $5, you know, that's 250 people, I think. Did I say 500? No, I said 100. That would be 50 people at $50.
Use 1,000, Dave.
Yeah, let's do 1,000. There you go. You know, and you look at that and you're like, no, it's more like 1%, 3% is awesome, depending on who you talk to. So, but yeah, I use Digital Access Pass. I do have an affiliate link for this. If you go to schoolpodcasting.com/getdap, D-A-P, that will take you over there. Now, it is more expensive than the other ones because it does have a membership site plug-in. It does have an affiliate thing plugged into. And a lot of times if you buy other programs, because I've used the one that I keep forgetting the name, Wishlist, I've used Magic Members, I've used a couple other ones in the process of launching the School of Podcasting. I launched the School of Podcasting on another platform. And that's one of the things you have to be really, really wary of. As I'm moving the School of Podcasting, I had to stop looking at other platforms because I'm moving. I'm actually moving. As much as I love Digital Access Pass, I'm actually moving to something that is strictly geared for schools and delivering courses. Now, can I do that with Digital Access Pass? Yeah, but this does like really cool stuff that would take some custom coding. And when I said, that's it, that's my platform, I had to quit looking because I would never move. I would never move and say, now, am I worried that I'm going to move this and then 4 years down the road, go, oh, I should have picked B. It's going to happen. There's always something better. And if not, wait 4 years. There will be. And that's kind of why I've stayed with Digital Access Pass for so long. They constantly update that. They're always, you know, now it integrates with Stripe, which is this other PayPal kind of thing. So be careful with that, because if you're always looking, I want to make sure I have the best top ever kind of technology, that's a tough gig in a world filled with technology. So
yeah, let me say, you know, I'm not a membership guy at all. I don't sell my, you know, all podcasts are free. I don't try and make money, none of that stuff. This pure hobbyist, you know, this is where you and I are real different in what we do. But this week, so I've just put a subscribe link, a member, you know, to collect email addresses on my site. First time ever, you know, 4 years into this. The reason is I'm just really disgruntled with what Facebook and Twitter and some of the social sites are doing.
Amen. Right,
as far as they're just, you know, it's just not what it used to be. And hey, let's just get past it. We got to adapt to it. They're not going to change it no matter how much we want to. And so to just really stay in contact with my listeners, I feel like I've really got to collect. I got to create maybe a monthly newsletter that I communicate with them back and forth. Here's what's going on. Here's the new things on the site. So brand new to that. So if you haven't done it, I chose MailChimp. I went between Clever and MailChimp, and I just chose MailChimp to do that. And I actually haven't advertised it, and I've already collected a couple names. So it's kind of funny. I put that on the site, boom, a couple of people signed up. So that's possible as well. One other thing I've changed to, you know, you mentioned about premium content or changing your content a little bit based on after you've been podcasting for a while. We created a brand new section, something I've been wanting to do for about 2 years, and I just got to it. But that is, I have these, what now we have Home Gadget Geeks, right? That's an hour and 20 minute podcast. Not everybody's going to listen. I know from my stats, not everybody listens all the way through that. But our listeners, when we surveyed them, that's what they wanted. They wanted a long podcast that they could listen to on their commute. So we give them one. Well, we created a new one called Home Tech Tips, and it's really it's 10 minutes or less, and in most cases, I want it to be 5 minutes or less. And I even put that in the title. So it's called, you know, we just interviewed Amber Gott from LastPass. So it's LastPass Tips in 3 minutes. And that's the title. I put that in there on purpose so people would be like, I won't give you, if I land on your site, I'm not going to give you 120 minutes. I might give you 3 minutes. And so one of the things I changed is I actually put a player, because I changed my my format design, around, the player is no longer visible on the front page. It used to be a one-click, you know, I was very intentional about that player showing up the first thing they saw it, and that's gone. The new site does not allow for that. So I went to Audioboo. We've talked about them before. They have a great looking player that with a playlist functionality. That's over on my site as well if you want to take a look at that, theaverageguy.tv. And so you can create a great looking playlist player that I put on my site. And you'd think, okay, well, what would that really do? Well, I've got some stats now because it's been out there for a couple weeks. And the last two podcasts that I've posted there, for example, when I wasn't posting it there, typically I'd get 15 to 20 listens on Audioboo, right? The LastPass in 3 minutes one that I did, last time I checked that, I'll just pull up some real stats right now on Audioboo, 130 plays already on that one. And you're like, well, yeah, Jim, but that's a 3 minute podcast, right? So that would be expected. Well, Cyber Frontiers, which is an hour long brand new podcast, has already gotten 150 plays just by having that player on the page. Whatever, it's more visible, it looks better, I don't know, but it's changing. And Audioboo, this, I know these aren't coming from the network because I've been on the Audioboo network for a year now. You know, they approached me about being a podcaster on their platform and they gave me a bazillion hours for free and all kinds of other stuff on that. I've been out there and have had very little success. We've talked about this before, but just because you joined a network doesn't mean people are going to flock to you, right? You got to work the network. I worked that network, really never saw any more than 30 plays. A little bit of a change, brand new player on the site. Now, are they listening all the way through? I do not know, right? The fact of the matter is I'm getting clicks, and you know, this is up to 150 now, which for you think about a niche, right? Cybersecurity and big data, that's what we're talking about. I got 150 plays on Audioboo. So there may be some, there's something, this is where I'm constantly tweaking. And again, you could do this and it might not work, but it works for my audience and I didn't know until I tried. So you've got to try some things, put them out there, get your audience to give you some feedback on it. If they start clicking through, you know, you might have found that silver bullet, so to speak. And so you've got to keep trying some things and testing.
One of the things that Kathy Kelly from the Special Mouse podcast did is she took like the number one question. She does a podcast about taking people to Disney with special needs. You can find that at specialmouse.com. And I forget what it is. There's like a some sort of mouse ticket. It's not a fast pass, but it's this thing you have to get at Disney. It sounds like it's a bit of a pain in the rear end. And so what she did is like that was like the number one question for people in her community was, how do you go about getting this thing? She made a quick little report on that and said, here's how you do it. Here's the tips and tricks. Here's how to get around all the red tape and blah, blah, blah. She put it out as a PDF, and you get that when you sign up for the newsletter. And most people will say, if you can somehow give people a reason to sign up, because it's great, because you will get people like I always say, you know, go to askthepodcastcoach.com and sign up for the newsletter. I have that in the widget on the sidebar, and you'll get our show notes emailed to you automatically when a new show comes out. And so that works for some people, but if you can say, oh, and by the way, I'll give you this free book, you know, that I think everybody's used to getting the free book or the free PDF or whatever it is to do that. So, John Parker has a great question in the chat room, and we're going to get to that right after we get to our caller ending in 8065, I believe. Is that our good friend?
Yeah, Dave. Yeah, this is Bill.
I'm going to say, is that our good friend Bill? I remember that number now. How's it going, buddy?
Hey, pretty good. I just moved my studio in my house to a bigger and better room, better lighting too. Not so hot.
Great. We can't see you. What's going on?
So I took your advice. Hey, a couple of things. You started the show talking about the 4th of July in the English. So you got my...
Yes.
Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
So you pushed my mind back into a different area. 3 years ago, I was in ISAF headquarters in Afghanistan, and that's really controlled by NATO, and we weren't allowed to celebrate the 4th of July, basically. It wasn't proper around the country.
Awesome.
I mean, that's what it
is. Well, thank you. Thank you for your service. And what's your podcast question?
There's more to the story. The next day, I made it up to the French, and the French headquarters, which was about 100 miles away up in the mountains where I worked. And the French, the day before, it had a big celebration. It was huge. You know, fireworks with an American. We had a small contingency of Americans with the French. Twice I worked with the French, one as an agent and one as a reservist on active duty in Afghanistan. So,
well,
just anyway, reflecting back as many times.
Well, Bill, thank you for your service. What's your question about podcasting?
You know, these couple things you talked about, and I sort of played with podcasts. I think I started your course as I was moving into Reno last year, moving my family out of California, soon after I semi-retired. I'm not really fully retired. I might do one more tour overseas. Was a reservist for 31 years, and I'm a sworn temporary federal agent. So, and I'm kind of in demand right now with what's going on in the world. But the question is, on the podcast, one thing that the advice I'd give, I took a lot of time learning different softwares and equipment. Adobe Edition, I wish I'd gone in Adobe Edition right away. I dropped some money to really get a nice iMac with a lot of storage and good speed. And I had CS5 design. I've had that in my business prior, you know, since CS2, my wife's business, real estate company. I got the cloud. I think all those things have really sped up my processing and systems. So I wish I'd done those early and spent some money and just got going. But I wasn't sure what was the right thing and place to go. The other thing that probably slowed me down is I've been a PC guy my whole life. And last year when I got back from overseas, I bought a MacBook Pro.
Yep, you had mentioned
that took a long time.
You mentioned that last week, that you're finding them not very easy. So,
well, it took me a long time. I'd say it slowed me down. It took me a long time really to get the MacBook Pro going. And you are spending probably twice the money, but and the systems are a little bit different. But overall, I think I've mastered the MacBook Pro, and I'll stick with that for my podcasting. So that's why I went ahead and bought the iMac. If you looked at what I did over the last 3 weeks, I analyzed both the PC, the desktop, and the iMac. So I think those are important things to do.
Well,
go
ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, we were talking, were your ears burning at the beginning of the show? What's your number one priority? Because I said, in listening to last week's show where you called in, it sounds like you have so many things going on. What is your number one priority? Because it sounds like your number one priority is launching these four podcasts. And I'm like, no, that's four priorities.
Actually, launching the podcast is not the number one priority. It's getting the systems in place behind the scenes. and then launching. What I've done, though, is because I might go back overseas, who knows, and it would be the last tour I do for sure. But what I've done, though, is I've gone ahead and I've launched my main show, which is Timelines of Success. I have 20 interviews. So that's not my priority. My priority is to get the systems in place.
Okay.
You still there?
Yep. I was just, I'm listening. So, and then.
And mainly, too, if you're going to watch a podcast, a show, and you know it, there are a lot of hats you have to wear. You have to do a lot of different things. You have to be good on processes and systems. You have to be good as an interviewer. You have to be good on the website. I would say the number one area I need to really show and come up in is the backside management through the websites, getting all your systems in place. One thing I've done along the way, and I put the highest priority, believe it or not, is the nonprofit that I volunteered and helped. I've actually got their website in pretty good place. We use HostGator, and they collect, and we collect the names, addresses, and we have a monthly luncheon, and it works. Now I need to do that to my own sites, and then eventually look at monetizing. And to do that, you've got to figure out a path. And there's a lot of things you have to do. So you have to break down your day. You can't do just one thing. The priority is success and going forward. So you've got to wear different hats until you get enough revenue and money where you can start hiring people. You know, prior to 9/11, I had a design build construction company.
Yeah.
In building a house or subdivision, there's a lot of priorities. And there's a lot of critical paths. You have to do things parallel to each other. So anyway, hey, so FYI, you know, I'll finish up with this.
I'm going to say,
I did launch.
Go ahead.
FYI, prior to the 4th of July, I did launch Timelines of Success. And I've got 20 shows banked, and I think they're going to come out well. So there's a lot of things. When you say number one priority, if you're running a show, you've got to get hosts, guests, you've got to get things going and push forward.
Absolutely. Well, Bill, thank you so much for calling in. And we're going to move on to John Parker had a great question. I just had it, Jim. Where did it go? He was asking about licensing.
Yeah, he had mentioned about playing music on your podcast. Is that different than doing it over radio, you know, terrestrial radio in a setup? And I don't know a lot about that. The licensing stuff gets pretty sticky. I do have a friend that does broadcast us live on the internet, which is not radio, but it's a 24-hour radio show that he does. And I threw out a link to that. I'm not saying this is the right thing, by the way, but it's streamlicensing.com. And so if you check that out, just like it sounds, streamlicensing.com. For $22.50 a month, you can purchase a license that protects you from playing music, at least in this format, on this radio show. I'm not giving anyone legal advice. I'm not saying you can actually do this and get away with it. I haven't checked it out. I haven't had a lawyer look at it. But streaminglicensing.com.
The tricky part is that makes podcasting so different is it's downloadable. And that's where, because there are three things that you have to worry about. Number one, there's the songwriter. So I might write a song that Jim sings and records, and his record label owns part of it. So you have a record label, you have the artist who performed it, and the person that wrote it. And technically, to have a complete license to all of it, you got to have all three people sign off on it. And Brian Aldridge in the chat room says, yeah, musicalley.com is a PodSafe Music, used to be the PodSafe Music Network, a great place. Because these are musicians that say, hey, you can use this on your show. In theory, you're supposed to say, this is from musicalley.com. And
Mike Phillips says, ask for Marvin. If you're Marvin at Stream Licensing.
Oh, very cool.
Mike, it sounds like. Mike Phillips, is that an okay site? I didn't do any looking into it, but it was just a friend who said that's what he uses.
And, of course, we have to say, we're not lawyers.
Yeah, we're not giving you any advice.
I know the 48 Days, Dan Miller, spent 9 months going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth with record companies and labels. Cause that's actually, Randy Bachman from BTO, you know, then you've got, I think they were on Warner Brothers. I forget what record label they were on. And, so he had to wait 9 months, and I think he pays $99 a year. I've asked Michael Hyatt numerous times, to say, how are you using Dare You to Move, which is by a band Switchfoot? And I don't know that he's answered that. If he has, I haven't heard it, because I'm usually on a phone call or something like that in a forum where I'm like, how did you get that? It sounds like it's a pain in the butt. When I tried to do it, they wanted $300 an episode for the song Something to Say by an artist whose name I cannot escape. And I just went Matthew West. And I went again. This is not my number one priority. Okay, this is like priority number seven. I'll worry about this later. In the meantime, you know, I'm covered.
Well, with, I think it came up because I think John Parker had said Dave Ramsey. Had, you know, he plays old school rock and roll. You know, Dave Ramsey is a media outlet, and so I bet they've got some licensing. You know, that's all covered under the big. I mean, that's big business mm-hmm. that he does there. So I bet that's covered under one of those. Mike Phillips did say he is a lawyer. So if you have your legal questions, just email Mike Phillips.
Yeah, it is kind of tricky though, and I always wondered that. If they're just getting a pass, well, you're playing us on the radio, so we're not going to complain that it also gets on your podcast. You know, who knows? But there's something probably behind the scenes. And that's the whole.
So Mike,
go ahead.
Mike says, by the way, using a song, Mike Phillips says this, using a song for a theme song is not the same as playing the song in its entirety on a licensed stream. If there's video, it's different. It's a different license still. It's kind of messy. Yeah, I think if you're a small-time podcaster, get original music. You know, get somebody, get a local guy to make some music for you and call you. You don't get that recognition and, you know, of having, you know, some 60 song playing. But that's my advice.
Mike Phillips in the chat room says, yes, if you're emailing questions, be sure to include your credit card.
Spoken like a lawyer.
Boy, here's what I did to jump on your idea of local musicians is I did a little promo recently with a song called 1, 2, 3, and I was playing on my whole thing. Hey, give me three listens before you tune out. And the band is called Something Communication in Texas. And technically they don't exist anymore. They broke up the band, but I found them on Music Alley. And, this was years ago. I've used that clip in other things. And, I just contacted the band and said, hey, because the band wrote the song, they had no record label, and they were the performer. So I had all three right there. I said, "Can I use your song in my show?" And I'll be sure to mention it. And they went, "Sure." Because technically, I was supposed to go, "This song is from MusicAlley.com." Anytime I use that in a podcast, and so I basically got their okay many moons ago. And they said, "You know, if you want to link to it, that's cool. Whatever." They were very laid back. They're like, "Well, whatever you want to do, just yeah. If you want to mention us, that's cool." So they were just happy I was going to use it. So. I used that, I believe, on an old podcast that doesn't exist anymore.
Here's a tip that I tried. So if you're going to use YouTube and you have any questions at all about, like, say you got some music and you want to know if it's licensed or if it's going to get, you know, a takedown notice on YouTube. And I actually just replayed that into, or I created a video on YouTube that I just, and then I monetized it right away. So I took that piece of music. We had, one of my hosts' cousins recorded some music, never made it onto a label. It was all indie music, but I was still like, you never know, because even musicians who get on a label, they don't own their own music in a lot of cases, right? So the musicians can give you permission, but if the label owns the rights, you still got to get permission from the label. Of course, labels are in it for the money. So in most cases, they're going to gouge you for it. So what I did is I took the music, I uploaded it in MP3 to YouTube, turned on monetization, because that's the key. You have to turn on the monetization options on YouTube. And I let it sit there for 30 days. Because YouTube's going to search it immediately to see if it's copyrighted music at that point, or if it's been on a label before. And no talk, no nothing, just straight music. And I let it go for 30 days. And if it makes it through the 30-day test, then I know I can probably use that on YouTube and not get a takedown. We had Mike Howard even buy some music where they said, hey, this is safe for those kinds of things. This is podcast safe music. And he still got taken down on YouTube. So, wow. Yeah, even buying it sometimes doesn't guarantee. So I test it on YouTube and I leave it up there so that in case something changes, that's the one, that's the canary, right? If something's going to go wrong, right, it's going to be that one that's going to get picked up first, right? And then I have some idea if they're going to ask me to take it down.
Well, Mike is saying there's a company going after small podcasters over unlicensed music. So again, if you're playing Lady Gaga in your show, probably not a good idea. But he says in this case, it's music from Free Play Music. So one of my favorite sites now is Audio Jungle. They have some pretty cool stuff. He said grabbing his CD. I went back because, again, I used to do voiceover for people. I don't do that as much. There was a company, Wavetracks.com. I have no idea if they're still available. But I bought like a big, huge collection for like $99, and I got like two DVDs of tracks. So sometimes if you bite the bullet, you can just get a ton of music that way.
And remember, if you get someone else to record that music for you, it's not John Bon Jovi, but if you can get a John Bon Jovi sound alike to record it for you, that's apparently legal because there's tons of those on YouTube that get taken down and it's not the exact content. So that might be another way if you got an aspiring musician in your family.
There was a book I read way when I was into the whole music marketing thing about it was something like the inside tricks of music producers. So they would reach out to Paul Simon and say, "Hey, we want to use this thing from your Graceland album as a sample." And he'd go, "No." Okay. So what they do, they get a bunch of musicians together to make a record that sounded just like his, and they would change it this much, so it wasn't exactly it, and somehow they were able to then use that. So
yeah. Brian says cover, right? If you're getting somebody to cover it for you, it's not the same. So I don't know. It's so sketchy. That's maybe one of the hardest parts of podcasting in general is if when you start getting into the music portion of it, it can get dicey very, very, very quickly.
This is where I just wish the music business would dig their head out of their butt and go, look, make a license, $100 a year. You can play this in your show. Now that's going to be a little rough for people that are doing music podcasts, but if you want it for a theme song or something, that would be cool. And
so Mike Phillips does say, if you do a cover song, you still have to get a license to that song, not the performance. How does that work on YouTube, Mike? Because there are a million cover versions of every Call Me Baby, right?
Well, that and there's all these people sitting on their bed with a guitar, and I'm always like, wait a minute, that's somebody owns,
Yeah. Well, to his point, if you're gonna include music in your podcast, be ready for a fight in some regard. Mm-hmm. Just be ready for it. It may not come to you, it might. And the more podcasts you do, say you got 50 podcasts and you've used this theme song and somebody comes back and fights you on it and you lose, you're going to have to go back and take that out of every single one of them. So
how fun would that be?
Mike Howard did something very similar to that. So
to keep in mind, one of the reasons I submitted the Logical Weight Loss podcast to iHeartRadio and they said, nope, because you're using, unlicensed music. And I've got to go back and find the email where the people from skinnysongs.com said, yes, you can use it. And I'm like, and again, I just went, you know what? Not a number one priority right now. Okay, fine. I'm not on our iHeartRadio, but that's just another thing. When in doubt, just, skip the gaga and go to
a music expert from YouTube or from, to give us some clarity on some of this stuff. Cause I think even amongst ourselves, we probably have some inconsistent ideas of what you can and can't do with music. So,
Brian says I sing, and if I sing a song from sheet music that is copyrighted, it knows it. I'm assuming the it is YouTube in this case and tags the original artist and writer. Huh. That's pretty smart. That's kind of spooky.
That is pretty smart. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you got to be careful. I think we started this discussion saying neither one of us are lawyers. So any advice that we've given the risk is on you.
Yeah.
If you decide to take that. It's hard to.
I do really wish they would just, just come up with something, make it easy. And because musicians are, not making any money in the first place I was listening to Jay Moore's podcast and the band Sugar Ray, the guy from Sugar Ray was on, he only made 14 cents per download anyway. But then again, if you get a million downloads, that's pretty cool. But they were just saying that, they used to make a lot of money. Sugar Ray did a lot of music for soundtracks and they just said, there's like the money in the music industry is just evaporating at an alarming rate. And I was like, so if they were smart, we've got people over here going, I'd probably be willing to pay a little. And yet they're too busy, to do that.
Yeah, it's a mess. It's just a mess right now. My advice would be stay as far away from the music as you can.
Yeah, just find something that you know is good and.
Yeah, or have somebody create something that's never been created before, and get permission to use it, and then I've mentioned this before. I'll say it again though. There's a whole community of musicians out on SoundCloud that you might want to approach. Guys and gals posting samples out there that you can listen to, and if you like one, just contact them and say, hey, I'd like to use your music in a podcast. I'd like it to be exclusive. Will you let me use it, and will you take it down? I think that's the key. Will you let me use it and take it down from SoundCloud when you're done? And I'd like exclusive rights to it and get an agreement. That's a great way, I think, of getting. Yeah. And those artists, I mean, think about that. They'll be like, yeah, my music made it on a podcast. I mean, they don't, that's a big deal. So
the shot.
Yeah. So that's when people ask me, what do I do about music? That's what I say.
Do you have time to go a little over today?
Yeah.
I was looking at the questions that Bill had sent in, and I should have asked him when he was on the phone, but that's all right. He had asked about using live webinars to promote a product, which, again, kind of not really podcasting, but being that that's what you and Gallup do, you know, to me, I'm like, good idea. The only bad news is if you're a one-man band, when you have more and more things that require you to be there live, whether it's you editing video, you editing audio, you doing a live webinar, you recording your podcast, you doing the research, there's only so much you to go around.
Yeah, there is time. Now, at Gallup, it's a little different. I actually have a team, right? My hobby podcasting stuff that I do, that's all on me. In fact, when we're done today, I start editing video and audio to post my show from Thursday. But at Gallup, while I sleep, there's someone editing audio and video, and they're making the posts and stuff. So it's a little bit different. Dave, one of the things we've separated at Gallup, just from a thought process, is we have what we call webcasts, and that's the we're abandoning the name podcast just because I don't think people really know what that is. But webcasts makes more sense. They've really, our enterprises engage that. And when I say we're webcasting, people get that. So that's worked for us. It's worked well. So we have webcasts and webinars. And webcasts are interactive, right? It's a dialogue. It's a conversation. We allow chat. We have interaction, you know, all those kinds of things. A webinar is very one-way focused. It's us talking to them. People are coming to hear information. There's not as much. We might put a form on the page that says, if you'd like more information, you know, email here. But we have a specific agenda we're trying to get through with the webinar, and we don't want that distracted by a chat room. So there's lots of gray lines in between the two of those. But in our thinking over the last 6 months, webcasts and webinars, that's how we separate them in our minds and keep them different. They can be similar and the same. I get that. You can argue it however you want, and you can come up with any terminology you want. I'm just telling you that's how we've separated those. And so webinars can be very, very effective. And, you know, we just did one the other day with 450 people on it. So it, you know,
I know, speaking of, speaking of John Lee Dumas, he's taken his, because he promotes, whatever his website is, Podcaster's Paradise. He promotes it with a webinar and it's working for him. So now he has a class on how to take a webinar and use it, which I'm like, I'm not sure really know you just go through the basic objections of why people wouldn't want to sign up for your site, and you explain, here's why it's good, here's why I'm going to save you time, here's why I'm going to save you money, here's how you're going to benefit from this product, and here's where you sign up. I mean, that's kind of selling 101, and you know, but webinars are a great way to do that. It does prove that, you know, you're a real person back here behind all the emails and and things of that nature. So
it's gray though in there, certainly, if you're getting on and recording something, whether you call it a webcast or a podcast or a webinar or whatever, a sales pitch, whatever, they all get gray. At the end of the day, you just have to have the time and the ability to do it. Right. Now, and if you're,
yours is promoting your coaching,
everything at Gallup starts around the StrengthsFinder.
StrengthsFinder.
So we have the StrengthsFinder tool that we do. And then we have coaching, and we offer classes in both StrengthsFinder coaching and management. And so, this all that we do is to help promote our tools and help promote our classes. And to create community. We are trying to create, it's so funny that this comes at this point in time in my life. We're trying to create a very engaged community around these products where you just don't sell and forget it. The StrengthsFinder isn't something you buy, you take one time, and then you forget about it. It's something that if you use, daily in your life, it can have great benefits to you. And so we're trying to create a community around that where we have a lot of, you know, interactivity. So this is where Twitter and Facebook are very helpful, because we have great communities out there where people can ask questions and get answers. So we're trying to create a more engaged community around our product.
And because the reason I ask that is how much of it, because you're not, you don't just show up on your webcast and go, "Hi, I'm Jim from Gallup, and buy our stuff."
No, no, we never say buy anything. It's all soft sale. So that's like, hey, these are available. You can get your resources at thegallupstrengthcenter.com. That's as much selling as I do on those podcasts. It's answering questions and interacting with coaches and talking with managers and those kinds of things. They're very now part of it, Dave, is I've influenced that, and that's the style I like. I like this, you know, not in your face, let's just talk about it, and things will sell themselves as people find value in them. So I've influenced that, but yeah, it's a very soft sell. It's not a retail marketing kind of thing. And some, it is, and it's not, if that, right. Does that make sense?
Well, that's the point. I knew that answer before I asked it, but that's one of the things I want to make sure that we hit, that, you know, most people do not sign up to watch a commercial unless they have to. And I always love the fact that you'll start off a webcast and like, at the end, we have a special bonus code for you. It's like, really? Yeah. Gosh, I've never
heard that. We don't even do codes. We don't do affiliate links. We don't do, you know, we don't do any of that stuff. It's, we get on, talk about how it's changing people's lives, and then we get off.
And Bill wants to know, what is your website?
Oh, okay. So the Gallup website, if you want to go there, it's coaching.gallup.com. So that's the coach's site. That's going to branch out into a couple different sites here in the fall. But for right now, if you want to see the audio and video that I'm doing for Gallup, that's the best site to find it on, coaching.gallup.com. The link to the Facebook page is there. The link to the link to YouTube is there as well.
There you go.
Coaching.gallup, and that's with an A, G-A-L-L-U-P, Gallup, G-A-L-L-U-P.com. I'll throw that in chat too.
There you go. Well, there you go. I'm going to go ahead and fade up the music. And I know I said this at the beginning. It was really nice to have you back, buddy.
Oh, it's good to be back, Dave. Thanks. It's good to be in the chair. I missed this last week, and everything's good. No issues here at the Collison House. Got myself into a little bit of a pinch, and I needed a whole Saturday to get it figured out. And so I just could not be podcasting.
There you go. Again, comes back to that whole number one priority thing, and family comes first.
Podcasting. Yeah.
Absolutely. Awesome. Well, we are here every Saturday morning, 10:30 Eastern Standard Time. Go to askthepodcastcoach.com/live. While you're at it, tell a friend. And you can find us in iTunes. Go to askthepodcastcoach.com/iTunes. And I want to thank Bill for calling in. I want to thank all our veterans for, you know, the fact that we made it to another birthday as a country.
It's a good list out there today, by the way. Dave, if you looked out there on our chat list, there are some stellar stud podcasters out there today.
Absolutely. I think that should be a new podcast. Studpodcasters.com. I don't know what the logo would be, and I'm not going there. But anyway, for anybody that's on the live clip as we go here, I know John said, hey, the new studio looks cool. I'll give you a little flip around with the camera here in a second, because it's still a giant mess. It's hilarious. Talk about number one priority. Cleaning up the office, not a number one priority right now. Getting it to work, number one priority. So thanks so much for tuning in. We'll see you again real soon with another episode of Ask the Podcast Coach.